Nation, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. You are in the right place. So good to be with you. I am your honored host, Daniel Brigman. We got a couple of new, one new guest, one returning guest, and a great show, I believe. Bruce Fronin, he's a professor, he's a law professor. He's written a book called Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul. I have it right here in my hot little hand, and I'm very jazzed about talking to him. You know, where did we come from? This is a little bit different perspective, our conservative soul. What was America? Where did we change, and how do we get back to this? And this is not a, believe me, this is not a Republican or Democratic book. This is just looking at the American experience, our individuality, local township things, all these kind of questions. Very good. From what I've read so far, really looking forward to talking to him. Bruce Fife will also join. He's a Mr. Coconut in some ways, coconutresearchcenter.org. And we'll talk to him. There's some new research about canola oil, new studies about that in brain health. So we'll talk to him for a good while. And any questions that you have, of course, you can email or call in 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Don't hesitate to call. Do not wait for an invitation, please, ladies and gentlemen. Our two websites, thepowerhour.com. And thepowermall.com. If you want to call the Power Mall, talk to Jay, 877-817-9829. And if you want to listen by phone, 701-300-5252. 701-300-5252. Glad to be with you. Uncle Kevin is joining us. Welcome, Uncle Kevin.
I was writing that number down.
We've only heard it about 25 times. You should know by heart now. You should have it tattooed on. You should write it on your hand.
Yeah, like back in school when I was cheating.
Yeah, cheating in school, writing the answers down. You made friends with Sally sitting next to you.
Exactly. And,
oh, very good.
She was the smart one.
We're going to do news and before Bruce comes on. Big thing on you, what's the biggest thing on your mind right now?
Let's see. Is Mueller babbling in front of the congressional hearing? He seems like an aqualung on the bench and just babbling.
Well, we have a story about that. Obviously, we've been promoted like it's, the fight of the century or something.
I mean, I watched it for 20 minutes, and he says, I'm not going to answer that question. How can you go in front of the...
What was the question that he asked?
Who knows? I don't know. I was like getting ready and, just it was on in the background,
Well, we had a story... we'll get to this about one of the congressmen catching him in a contradiction, an important contradiction, I believe, between what he said in front of Congress and what he said in the report. We'll talk about that a little bit. I think that's important. More reports by Q are coming out, whether true or not. Uncle Kevin always likes to go into them. He can't tell me where he gets the information from or what. But anyway, Q is putting out things all the time. We've went back and forth on that. We don't know if it's legitimate. We don't know if it's propaganda. There's some new,
allegations.
Q's allegations. Right. It says that, the white hats may be in charge of the skies, insinuating that the chemtrails are not being poured down. The bad chemicals are not coming down the same. Maybe.
I
don't know.
And he says that, there's chemtrails up there, but they're to negate all the bad things. That's already been done to us. And in that Washington speech that Trump said, he said we have the cleanest skies in the world.
Well, the rumor that you told me that was kind of most intriguing, ladies and gentlemen, and we're not trying to go down some theory rabbit hole, but this is interesting. I think, should be mentioned. Might as well. It's a slow news day.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. The July 4th speech that Trump gave was monument. It was an amazing speech if you've ever seen it.
Oh, was it?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
One of the things I really have to give him credit for, presidents just don't talk like that. I mean, whether it's all fluff or whatever, hearing some of these things is crucial for Americans to hear this type of talk. Anyway, you heard about the flash flood that occurred in Washington immediately after that, or right after it, I believe. Supposedly, people are claiming that there was weather weapons used to create a huge storm so that his speech would be rained out.
Right. Exactly. And did it pour? It deluged. They even said, Mr. President, I think we should cancel this. And Trump said, no, we are not going to cancel it.
And then there's some other thoughts that some fighter jets were used to spray some other cloud seeding, or whatever they did to counteract it around. The mall there in Washington, D.C., so he could speak. In dryness.
Yeah.
So people could, you know.
Either God did it or the Jets did it. One of the two. Because it opened up like
a window.
No. The river. In the Bible.
The parting of the Red Sea.
That's right. Opened up like the parting of the Red Sea. Absolutely. Right,
let's get to some more new underworld news. This is communism. This is what communism in Cuba means. Cuba is running out of medicine.
And toilet paper.
Which is more important? Which, in a crisis, a long-term crisis, ladies and gentlemen, which would you rather have, your medicine or toilet paper? It's probably 50-50, depending on what medicines you're taking. Inside reports of deaths, sickness that have consumed Dominican Republic. You know, we talked about talked about Costa Rica yesterday, Dominican Republic. Several people have come back to America dead. There's a fear surrounding the Dominican Republic of these days. Yeah, fear of dying.
Yeah, dying.
In just the past few months, the beach oasis has been battered by a steady stream of disturbing reports about tourist deaths, sudden illness, and violent assaults. At least 36 Americans have died in the past year and a half, 18 months. About.
We ain't going down there anytime soon.
No, not without an armored truck and our escort.
Own food and water.
Yeah, though more than 2.7 million U.S. tourists travel each year to the Caribbean nation, the cases have revealed a wide range of dangers facing travelers. Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz got shot.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he's a Dominican hero.
Hero.
And he got shot. Delaware woman's alleged hour-long assault, what have you, and people are dying drinking. Wherever you go, foreign, don't drink any alcohol.
Yeah. Or the water.
Well, the water's not killing you. It may make you sit in the toilet for a while. I think the alcohol's killing people. Beijing takes aim at the USA, Taiwan, and new military blueprint. Remember yesterday, the trailer for the new Top Gun movie?
No, I didn't see it.
I didn't. Right. We talked about it.
Oh, okay.
In the trailer on... Is it Maverick's jacket, Tom Cruise's jacket?
Oh, that's right. It was missing the patch.
The patch from the Taiwanese flag is missing.
Right.
Who was funding the Top Gun sequel? Yeah. China.
Got to be China.
Chinese interests were funding this movie. They got rid of the Taiwanese flag. They don't want Taiwanese independence. They don't want Taiwanese flags flying around.
The people that we should be importing are those people from Taiwan.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. I mean, they'll go to Washington and protest.
In this Taiwan, if anyone dares to separate Taiwan from China, the Chinese military would not hesitate to go to war, Chinese military spokesman Wu Quan said as he laid out for officials called a revised national defense policy for the new era. When I hear the new era, that reminds me of Roosevelt in the 30s. Oh, new Deal.
New Deal.
And then the new, what was Johnson in the 60s? What was his?
Oh, yeah. He had something to eradicate poverty.
The new century. I don't know why. I can't keep it straight. But anyway, when I hear those words. Point being.
Run.
China. If you live in Taiwan right now or Hong Kong, maybe you want to move.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to move. War drums. Europe readies a naval task force as Iran threatens to, quote, secure the Strait of Hormuz. This is from Michael Snyder. Catherine, we need to have him on. We haven't had him on in a while. EconomicCollapseBlog.com. It is funny. For decades, we have never had any problems with commercial ships passing through the Persian Gulf. All of a sudden, it's a major flashpoint. You know, that's a question in and of itself. Why is Iran pushing this issue right now?
I ain't got a clue.
I have speculation. Anything I would say would be speculation at this point, but it seems as though... If we're going to make a deal with them, then let's make a deal with them. Or it's just sitting there as a possible tinderbox for World War III. The circumstances are just being primed.
Well, we talked about that with the nuclear deal that Trump is going to. We think they're going to independently have a
deal.
Yeah,
but why are they doing this? Are they just...
Better deal. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. Ain't got a clue.
Iran hasn't said anything. All of a sudden, now they're pushing, ships coming through there. The story about the British tanker that the guards were removed.
It's a setup there. That's a setup. But
well, if it's true, I mean, I don't even know. I don't assume that any of this information is true. They shot down a drone. They didn't shoot down a drone.
We don't know.
No, we don't. In fact, I mean, the other day I said, well, I kind of know what's going on. No, I don't. I really don't know what's going on in Iran. It's all speculation. Yep. I don't know. I barely know what I'm going to have for lunch today.
Taco salad, I'll bet.
Oh, I love taco salad. My wife is such a good taco salad maker. Getting to Europe, Britain, Boris Johnson. You said that that guy with the wild hair, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He becomes the prime minister, and he's got a promise.
Okay.
Okay, let's hear it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He promises by October 31st to have a Brexit.
Okay.
Do you think that's going to happen?
No. I heard the Queen is not going to let it happen. I did not hear the specifics, but I heard the Queen will not let it happen. So we will see.
Hmm. How do you think Britain's going to take that, the people of Britain?
If they don't go out, I think they're going to go nuts, to be honest with you.
Well,
they've been way over tolerant.
Well, you know, then now think back to that British oil tanker getting taken in by Iran.
Yeah.
You know, is it possible as that date approaches, the excuse not to do this will be maybe there'll be some flashpoint with Iran?
Yeah, yeah. We can't pull out right now.
Right, we're involved in a joint.
Yeah, joint venture.
Joint venture. That's a good way to put it. Because war is business.
Big business. Talking about hundreds of billions of dollars there. And those, Boeing into folks, they like to collect that money. Raytheon.
Yes, they do. They
big money.
Puerto Rico governor, we talked about him.
I hear he's going. Good for him. $82 billion, and they still don't have the electricity up.
Yeah,
come on.
Going. Well, he's not going because of that. He's going because their meeting was spread over the internet. Remember?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, do you think him not having electricity is going to stop him from? Give me a break. That has nothing to do with anything.
He probably didn't divvy up that $82 billion very fairly. So
somebody released the meeting. Yeah. Senate overwhelmingly passes 9/11 first responder bill. I think
about
this is
time.
A good thing. Yeah, 97-2 vote. I wonder who the two people who voted against it are. Extend funding for first responders suffering health problems as a result of 9/11. Trump transition advisor convicted on foreign agent charges. I can't even pronounce this guy's name. Bjorn Rafikian. He was working with Michael Flynn and supposedly similar charges that Flynn got. I don't really know what this means.
Me neither.
Is this just trying to make sure the Mueller report looks legitimate or something? So they're.
Well, he doesn't look legitimate. He looks like he belongs in a nursing home.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's nothing wrong with nursing homes,
I'm not gonna answer that.
No, I'm not.
What are you here for, then?
I'm not, well, because Jerry Nadler, my good friend, he brought me up here. Trump, you remember we had, what's his name, the former congressman from North Carolina, Bollinger? Talk about how Robert Mueller's above reproach.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh my gosh, above reproach.
Above reproach. Yeah, he's probably wearing Depends.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Depends. You're making fun of people with Depends. There's nothing wrong with Depends.
When you're sitting in Congress, it is.
Well, he, just above reproach. Could you say that about any politician?
No.
Above reproach? No. Give me a break. What is he, the apostle? What is he, John the Revelator now or something? Give me a break. Trump sues Democrats to shield New York tax returns. This story just won't go away.
It won't go away.
It's none of their business.
None of their business.
They have no constitutional authority. Nope. They have no authority. This is
no legal.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And I don't blame him. I would fight to the very end.
Yep.
It's none of your business. It's just they're looking for something that they can grab onto and create controversy.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, in 2015, you didn't pay any taxes. You didn't report this $1,000 that you got from, you know, oh, my God, that's a crime. Impeach, impeach.
Mm-hmm.
Congress rushes to spend billions on space weapons, even if they don't work. Well, that sounds about right.
That sounds about right. But I hear we got real effective space weapons up there.
Up there already? Then why are we spending more money? But yeah, but we can't get to the moon.
Yeah.
So do you believe anything they say? We can't get. This is not me saying this. This is not Massimo Mazzucco. They're saying they don't have the technology right now to get back to the moon.
That's what that one congressman said, or
that's what NASA said.
That's what NASA said. That's right. Yeah.
Here's a story. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller caught contradicting his report in testimony to Congress. Doug Collins, he's a representative from Georgia. He caught special counsel Robert Mueller in a contradiction in his testimony before the committee. In his opening statement, Mueller stated, "We did not address collusion, which is not a legal term. Rather, we focused on whether the evidence was sufficient to charge any member of the campaign with taking part in a criminal conspiracy, and it was not." So what Mueller's trying to do with his testimony there basically is, we didn't look at collusion, so leaving the door open.
Right.
You know, so somebody needs to go look at collusion. Basically, that's the impression I got. That he was trying to say.
Well, he just lied to Congress. He can go to jail, just like Flynn.
Well, he can also edit his remarks, too. So you know how that trick works.
Yeah, exactly.
So the congressman brought up the point, well, Collins began asking Mueller whether collusion and conspiracy were synonymous. Mueller said no. However, then Collins got out the Mueller report, which I'm sure Mueller didn't write.
No, he didn't. Right? He could barely talk. Sorry.
Quote, on page, God, you got my voice all crazy. On page 180 of volume 1 of your report, you wrote, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in the general federal conspiracy statute. Basically, you're not telling the truth there, Mueller. You're just trying to diverge this whole thing and splinter it off into another investigation.
Exactly.
He eventually recanted basically his statement and said, well, just go with the Mueller report. Go with the report.
Yeah, exactly. I heard him refer back to the report. It's in the report.
USDA seeks to close loophole allowing 3.1 million additional SNAP users. I don't have any context to the story. Except the thing that bothers me anytime I hear this, that Americans are losing some benefit or some gift or whatever. But if you dare to talk about an illegal immigrant losing some sort of benefit or gift, everybody goes nuts.
Right. That'll be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Right. So that's my immediate reaction to any of these stories like this. I'm not quite sure what's going on. SNAP benefits, food stamps, things like that. 3.1 million Americans... Loophole, quote unquote loophole. What about the loophole about these illegal immigrants?
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm so sick of this.
Absolutely.
So sick of the hypocrisy and the inconsistency. New York City could ban the unauthorized sale of phone location data. One good thing they might even do. Wow.
Yeah.
They're too busy.
Let the people on the phone, whose phone it is, make the money if they want to sell their data.
Well, you know those click if you agree to terms of service. You know how that. Nobody reads that.
Nobody reads that.
You need a lawyer to read it anyway.
You do.
And then if you get two lawyers, they'll tell you it means two different things.
Two different things. Yeah. So convoluted.
Yes, fine could be up to $10,000. It's a great thing. I guess they stopped killing babies for a little while and actually going to protect people's privacy. Maybe they don't want the politicians don't want their locations.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's very good. Yeah, we're down at Sally's, down at the end of the road.
Yeah. The hottest phones for the next billion users are not smartphones. Now, here's a story I was gonna ask you. We talked a little bit about it. I want you to guess. Remember how we talked about America, you know, a cheap phone plan is $40, $50 cheap in America right now. And how in Europe.
Yeah, that's not cheap.
Right. That's not cheap.
That's not cheap.
That's not cheap, but that's inexpensive on the scale in America.
Right.
So, and then you go to Europe and other places, it's significantly cheaper.
I think it's about half in
certain places. Some places not. But definitely cheaper generally throughout most of Europe.
Right.
The hottest phone for the world's next billion users aren't made by smartphone leaders Samsung or Apple. In fact, they aren't even smartphones. Millions of first-time internet consumers from the Ivory Coast to India and Indonesia are connecting to the web on a brand new phone that costs about $25. This is very interesting.
Oh, I like it. I like the sounds of it.
It's a smart feature phone. It's not a smartphone. It's a smart feature phone. It does allow some...
It does a few things.
It does allow some video. It does allow a few apps, whatever. Okay. So they highlight this...
I like that idea.
They highlight this... yeah, way good idea. Maybe I need one of these. If I didn't use my phone for, you know, email and stuff like that, I'm caught in the trap anyway, but, they talk about the case of this Indian, Kamish Kumar. He makes about $80 a month selling mangoes, avocados off the sidewalks in New Delhi.
Okay.
Okay. 2 years ago, he decided to replace his inexpensive mobile phone that lacked web access. So the cheapest smartphone on the market there in India was about $100, the cheapest one. So he paid about $20 for this new smart feature phone. $20 he got this phone. Okay, how much? Now he gets basically all the data he wants. He gets to use his phone. How much per month do you think Mr. Kumar pays there in India for his cell service? Unlimited data, unlimited talking, text, what have you, can use a not full featured smartphone, but you use a lot and make a phone call, which basically we want a phone to do. Yeah. How much do you think?
India is pretty cheap. I would have to say $8.
You're not even close. $2.50 a month.
I like that story.
$2.50 a month. Well, it's not. It's great for Kumar. It's terrible for us in America.
They should bring that here. I'm so sick of getting ripped off by.
I want a smart feature phone.
Yeah.
That costs $2.50 a month.
A month. Yeah.
And they also in the story about the unbanked, you know, people don't have bank accounts, and they're trying to get everybody to have one of these devices in their hands so they can track them, so they bank, so they can, you know, that's where cryptocurrencies are going to come in. Bitcoin, all these things, they're not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. They want to get you banked so you, if nothing else, you can use your phone.
That's right.
They want everybody to have one of these phones. That's why it's $20 and it's $2 a month in India.
I can't remember, but there was a guy in the 60s was talking about how can we track everybody and get the tracking device small enough that you can hold it in your hand, and they have, and it is the phone.
Vitamin D is essential for your heart. Yeah, we knew that. It was sale at the Power Mall, the good quality kind. Many potential health benefits of curcumin. Check that out, thepowerhour.com, and the new Spikenard may boost memory. Stay tuned.
Oh,
Bruce Cronin on the other side.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to Power Hour, Power Mall. ThePowerMall.com is where you get all the great products. Of course, we have the specials on Global Healing, all Dr. Group. He'll be here later this week in a couple days. So check that out. The auto ship on REM Sleep, on Strauss Heart Drops. You can pick every month, every other month. Great deal. We'll give you, we'll lock in your price. We will give you free shipping. And as thank you, our customer service we're ratcheting it up for you. So thank you so much for your support at the Power Mall. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Our next guest, I've never met him before. Talked to him. The first time I talked to him is right before it came on. He seems fun. He seems, jolly, got a good spirit about him, and he's written a good book. I get a lot of books. I did go through this and specifically chose to have him on. His perspective is unique, and I think it's needed. He is Professor Bruce Fronin. He's a professor of law at Ohio North Law. Prior to joining the university there, he served as a legislative aide for a United States senator and is a visiting scholar at the John Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. So there you go. Bruce Fronin, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I like this book, Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul. I assume that people can get it wherever books are sold, or is there a website you'd rather them go to?
Sure. The best place, actually, is EncounterBooks.com. That's our publisher. And you can certainly find it at Amazon, where good things and bad things are available for everyone.
EncounterBooks.com. There you go. Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul. Now, I started through this. I have not read all of it, but what I have read, I've just been totally enthralled with. We talk about America a lot, what America is. From your book, to the very far, beginning, chapter one, who we are, the American tradition, America is land, America is a nation, most fundamentally, America is a people. If I ask you, who is America, what is America, what would you say?
America is you and me. America is a set of people living in their families, going to their churches, living in their local associations, going about their daily lives, working hard to support themselves and those around them. That's America.
You have a line here in this chapter. Americans differ from one another in many ways, but join in valuing the dignity associated with a self-governing people and the pursuit of happiness in the context of a well-ordered social and communal life. And you also talk about how that, how this is different. How is America, the beginning of America, whatever that is, how was or is this different from other nations and, the, and other peoples?
Yeah. You know, we're founded not as a set of individuals coming out of nowhere like liberals try to tell us, but neither are we simply one ethnic group that conquered another one. We are a people who, by and large, chose to be here. We can talk about African Americans in a bit if you like, though it's interesting that they refused to leave. And I respect the heck out of that for them, because there was a time when there was a goal to drive them off. But people who came here with a specific intention of leading good lives together. We're people who forms contracts, who forms deals to govern ourselves in pursuit of a decent life. That is not what you get everywhere.
The basis of America, the founding fathers, especially Jefferson. Jefferson was fascinated by Locke, and you mentioned Locke in the book a lot. What was Locke's influence on America? What should we know about Locke?
You should know about John Locke that he was a philosopher from the late 17th century who was brought up in a Calvinist household. He sort of went away from that. But what he did was he took the institutions, the beliefs, and the practices of a very real group of people, the separatists, the Calvinists in England, and he turned it into theory. He didn't make this up. This was an abstraction from genuine practice. These churches were covenanted communities. They gathered together to walk in the ways of their Lord. They set it down in contracts, covenants, to live godly lives together. It was not a philosophy of untraveled individualism. It was a philosophy of self-government under God.
Now, you mentioned self-government. That obviously drove our founding fathers incessantly, I would say, Thomas Jefferson probably being the lead mind. I don't know what your thought is there on Jefferson, how much influence he – Jefferson seemed like some scholars have compared Jeffersonian America or Lincoln's America. There's kind of a two Americas. I don't know where you fall on that line.
I think the best way, I think, to look at America is that we're basically a conservative culture that has always had a significant liberal political element to us. But the only thing that allows that liberalism, that liberality, that openness, that toleration, the thing that always made it work in America was a consensus on fundamental values. We'd always shared a basic Judeo-Christian outlook that was in our bones. It was in our laws. We turned it into our constitutions. It was the way we dealt with one another. That allowed for a certain freedom of movement, a certain freedom of belief and action, because we understood the customary rules of treating one another decently and of what we were all about. So it's both, but the dominant element is that conservative culture.
Now, conservative culture, when they hear that word, conservative, some people think, oh, conservative and liberal. And you even said liberality. You know, being a liberal in Thomas Jefferson's day certainly is different than being a liberal today. That's two different things. Liberal being free association, more accurate, I would think. Conservative doesn't mean necessarily Republican. Explain that difference.
Right. For a long time, conservatism has sort of gotten a bad name in America because after Ronald Reagan, who's a difficult and a wonderful figure, but after that era, the conservative movement, a lot of folks who are more traditional conservatives like me refer to it as conservatism, Inc. They became more concerned with winning elections than with protecting us in our townships and our localities. So it became much more a matter of protecting Wall Street and giving a lot of happy talk to social conservatives, but not actually doing anything. Conservatism is about Main Street. But traditional American values and traditional American associations.
Now, we've heard this discussion about religion. There's a Supreme Court case recently ruled on about the huge cross there in Maryland that's a World War I monument, testament to the people who died. We've seen that discussion back and forth. We've seen the court totally flip on quote-unquote religion, you go back in history, they seem like two different ideas. What role did religion play in early America?
It was fundamental. You know, there's an old understanding. I hate to, don't want to get too much into the Latin, but culture comes from the cult. All right. These two terms in Latin, they share a common root, which means to cultivate not just the ground, but yourself, your own soul. And that reflects, I think, a deep reality. We become who we are as a people in how we worship and how we deal with one another on the basis of our view of what we are in a permanent sense. So it has always been the case in America that communities express their common religious faith and their common religious attachments. It's interesting because you can sort of misidentify religion in America because on the frontier, one of the first buildings was always the church, but they didn't know who the preacher was going to be at first, whether it was going to be a Presbyterian or a Methodist. That was unclear because it was tough to find a man of the cloth. So people were very ecumenical in that sense. Okay, there was a lot of openness, but it was still deeply Christian with certainly a great amount of welcoming from very early on, for example, to the Jewish people. But what it meant was that all of our towns were deeply religious in their daily lives, in the rhythms of their activities, and certainly in public expressions. The problem is this myth of our Constitution talking about separation of church and state, a phrase that doesn't appear anywhere in the document, has raised this idea that not only should the federal government stay out of religion, which for the most part it really needs to, but that our states and even our towns, which were never thought of as fundamentally political institutions, even our towns now are taken as being part of the state, right? It's a grand sense. If they give any kind of support to religion, that is somehow oppressing everyone else. That's so deeply against the American tradition, and it's so recent in our judicial history that we really need to push back against it.
Well, you're a professor, you're a law professor, obviously. I mean, how do you look at some of these cases and how the attitude that is put out there now about religion, it does, there's no way that it can jive with America 200 years ago. I mean, it's not even, they did not think that 200 years ago. The idea that they pass off as law, it wasn't even close to the way they thought 200 years ago. Your thoughts on that?
No, you're absolutely right. Not only that, it doesn't jive with what was happening 50 years ago, okay? What's happened is over the last about 80 years, it started about 80 years ago, there was this misreading of what happened after the Civil War, okay? When there was a determination that finally at this point, after the horrors of the Civil War and the horrors of slavery, we have to make sure that everybody in America, including freed slaves, is given their basic procedural rights. Okay? Noble and absolutely morally necessary thing. The court started deciding that what that meant was we get to transform America fundamentally to make it more free and help everyone purely as individuals, not as communities. That's changed things. It has become very, very aggressive. Now, this last case about the cross in Maryland, what it decided was merely that if it's been there long enough, and if we can come up with an argument that it wasn't really religious, we'll let it slide. We can't accept that. My hope is that this is a step on the way to overturning the really bad precedents that put this in motion, which is to say simply that if we're not actually coercing someone or punishing them, then there's no reason to stop a community from expressing its faith.
I've heard courts, even Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor, almost aghast with this idea of precedent being overturned. And I, you know, you're a law professor. I'll ask you. I almost have to laugh. It's so ridiculous. She says, she's basically talking about, you know, Roe versus Wade maybe challenge here. She's kind of hinting at it. She's mentioning this case you just mentioned, the cross in Maryland there, that, hey, these are long established precedents. We just can't go around changing these precedents. And I just have to laugh. I mean, what planet are you from, lady? Because, you know, like you said, about 80 years ago, you completely, or your ilk completely changed the precedent in America. Your thoughts?
Well, it's like the kid. Like the little kid who basically says, what's mine is mine and what's yours is negotiable. All right? It's not acting in good faith. precedents do in fact get overturned. We should be careful about that. But some precedents, Roe v. Wade is clearly one of them, as even Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg admitted on the record. Some precedents are simply wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that we overturn them lightly, but when you see that the reasoning has no basis in the text, you got to redo it. And the fact that they redid an awful lot of precedents there in the 50s and 60s and 70s doesn't mean we have to accept their improper redoing. This is somehow now written in stone.
I want to go back to the founding of our country, the mid-1700s. It is obvious to me that, and we talk about this a lot on the broadcast here, this is very important to me. This is America. This is the difference in America to me. This is the most important political document, probably since the Ten Commandments, since the Old Testament. The Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Okay, the seminal sentence in the Declaration of Independence. I mean, it's akin to scripture to me almost, how significant and how connecting us to God it is, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator. Only a hyper religious people could resonate with that. It's not like Jefferson set out on a quest to set the moral tone of America. The moral tone of America was already there, and his writing in the Declaration of Independence kind of resonated with it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and Jefferson was actually quite overt in saying that he was simply trying to sum up the general views at the time. If you look at other documents around that era, declarations of the various state legislatures at the time, for example,
yes,
that was pretty common language. It was a generally recognized consensus view that God gives us certain rights, and we begin as creatures of God, and because of that, we're endowed with a dignity that needs to be recognized by the state. The difficult stuff in the Declaration is the stuff that comes at the end, which I actually consider more important because they get to what law means and what the limits on government means. But to your point, we really have fallen far away from where we ought to be, that we have to argue over the fundamental statement there in the Declaration.
Oh my gosh, you put that in such a good way. I mean, simple as you do. We've had lots of people on discuss this. It's like, Jefferson says it's self-evident, right? The word self, he uses the word self-evident. Why are we even arguing about this? This is obvious. This is, history has decided this. Why are we even discussing this? But in America, in schools, in courtrooms, in law, in the Supreme Court, that's all we do is discuss these two dynamics. Are we created beings with rights, powers, authority outside of government, or are we creatures of the state, operating at the privileges and whims dictated to us by the state? That's really the controversy, is it not?
Yeah. And what it comes from is, you asked about liberalism early on. And I think, and one of the things we argue in our book here is that what we have today is not liberalism of the sort that you saw in folks like Jefferson. What you see is progressivism. It's this theory that the state has to transform society to make us all better human beings, to make life more fair and create social justice. The reason we have to argue about this is that we're being fed a line of ideology that is very hostile to our founding principles. That's the fight we're in now.
You're a professor at a school. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I mean, I don't know how your school would even, take you writing this book. I have no idea. We've seen other people get ridiculed to scorn almost. But what is going on in these schools that people come out and they're halfway to socialists, even though I don't care what kind of degree they have, they're being pumped full of these ideas and doctrines that are completely un-American. What's going on?
Well, what you had starting in the 60s was a takeover of the cultural institutions, all of the cultural institutions. That includes universities. It includes K-12 education. It includes the government positions, and it certainly includes what's been going on in Hollywood for a long time. You've had a march through the institutions of people who aren't just liberal. They're not even, I hate to say this, but they're not even really just socialists. These are people who really are fundamentally opposed to our way of life. Most of them are radical Marxists, okay? Mm. And they've been running things for long enough that there are very few people who don't subscribe to this view. You have an awful lot of colleges that now will make you sign a statement that makes clear your commitment to diversity and equality.
What?
Social justice and all. It's a loyalty oath. University of California requires it of applicants, so you're not going to get the job unless you're a real lefty.
Whoa, Bruce. This is the first I've ever heard. I mean, I keep up with the news.
Really?
How did I miss this? Obviously, they didn't make this. This wasn't really public. I mean, I keep up with the news pretty good.
No, it's not made public, but it's the University of California system, and it's in a number of other places as well. But
wow.
The UC system is where I can get it. Yeah.
So,
and what they say is, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead and finish. I'm just amazed. My jaw is dropped here. Please finish.
Well, that's how bad things have gotten. And, you know, I'm no longer a young man, no longer a thin man, no longer an attractive man. But still, what's happened over the last few decades that I've seen myself was when I was in graduate school, okay, it was true that most of the faculty were far left. One of my professors spent his summers in Cuba cutting sugarcane to bring the revolution, okay?
Oh,
but you could at least find a handful of people who were moderates to conservative. That is no longer the case. There are almost none on any campus now. If there are more than three or four on my own campus, I would be shocked. I certainly never met them, so they're being very quiet about it.
So you're like a unicorn. You're like a unicorn running around there on campus.
Not as far as they're concerned. I'm something much more evil. But my campus is not as bad as you go to a place like Oberlin or Colgate, where I visited for a year, or certainly you go to Harvard or Yale. They do their best to see to it that there are none of us. Okay? So what's happened is that the universities have completely been sold on this idea. Now, it began with the argument for diversity. What really happened was during the 1980s, they simply stopped hiring white males on the argument that we have to establish diversity since you're almost all white males. We're simply not going to hire any for the next 10 years until we get half women, you know, a quarter African-Americans and so on. And that opens. So you really have had a fundamental takeover of our university system, which used to be one of the more conservative in the world, and now is very much in keeping with what you'll find in places like India, Bangladesh, and other third world countries, where ideologues are in charge of teaching. It creates the same sort of situation in a lot of other places as well.
Let me be clear here. So America has went from, you had many state constitutions. You mentioned state constitutions, even outside the Declaration of Independence. You had to be a Christian to even be in public office in most of the state constitutions at the time of our country's founding. It said that in the Constitution. There was some sort of test, though. Some Protestant, some Christian, some whatever. We have went from that. You have to commit to being a Christian to be in public office, to now universities saying you have to commit to being a progressive liberal to be able to teach here. I don't know what to say.
In a word, yes.
I don't.
Something that needs to be addressed, and you know.
How do we address it, Bruce? How do we address this? How in the world do we address this?
Oh, actually, you know, we have a plan. We have a chapter on this.
Okay, well, wait. Let's hold on that. Let's hold to the other side of the break to get to that plan, because I don't want to cut you off in the middle. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Okay, you mentioned the Civil War, or right after the Civil War, that America took a sharp turn. Is that where we kind of lost this constitutional communal battle? Where's the point we say, right there, that was the key moment?
No, I don't think there wasn't one single key moment after the Civil War. No, because really, if you look constitutionally, the compromise that was made in the 14th Amendment was a rational one. It wasn't carried out properly. Some really bad things were done in the South. But if you want to look for a moment, it's really, there's three of them. The first is Woodrow Wilson, who started instituting the idea of this national bureaucratic service that knows better than anyone else and shouldn't be answerable to the people. A much bigger leap with Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, you know, our only president for life, FDR, instituted all kinds of social programs and the idea that you don't have to have real, clearly written laws determining what the government can do. Then you had this all solidified in probably the most corrupt government we had in the 20th century under Lyndon Johnson. These three presidencies instituted the kind of governmental overreach, the idea of a federal government that determines what everyone can do. But you know what? As bad as that is, what really made it possible was the rise of this ideology of progressivism, that the state should be in charge of our lives. And that took longer, and it became more ingrained. And, you know, it became a problem where we, you know, people of faith, people who believe in our traditions, were embattled at that point. It really wasn't until you got to Barack Obama that the bottom fell out. And that's not because Barack Obama was so effective at transforming America. It's that it really took all the restraints off the left altogether. They were feeling their oats. We now run things. We no longer have to tolerate you terrible, racist, sexist, homophobic folks. So it's been a process. And because it's been a process and because it's been the takeover of these cultural institutions, I would argue against some of my more pessimistic friends that it's well worthwhile starting the process of fighting back. And we really haven't done that effectively until now because, in part, because Conservatism, Inc. decided they just wanted to get in the game and win some elections. So
you're talking about Republican. You're talking about the Republican Party. They've turned conservatism into a corporate venture and like you said, turned it into Conservative Inc. Is that what you're referring to? I detest the Republican Party. The Democrats, to me, I mean, I'm getting personal now, but they've told the leadership anyway, not the rank and file, but the leadership Democrats have told us basically we're Marxists. That's what they've told us.
Yep.
The Republican Party, they sit back and much more snake in the grass like. And which do you hate worse? You know, which is a bigger problem? which do I detest more? The snake in the grass or the open commie? You know, I don't know. There's the music. More with Bruce Fronin on the other side. He's got a plan. I want to hear it. I think you probably do too. The book, Coming Home. Reclaiming America's conservative soul.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivore wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivore because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivore. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivore Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY.